Who knew this would happen? A magic potion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worthy of change, same as you are. Mirror, mirror, don't you judge me? Don't you dare. Who knew I was capable of loving? Who was there staring back? I said, staring back.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Transitional Wisdom Podcast, where Nash and I discuss all things trans and queer-related from a variety of different perspectives. Today, we have a very special guest we'd like to introduce.
My name is Christian Bales. I went to high school at Holy Cross District High School in Covington, Kentucky. I still live in Kentucky. I live in Cold Spring, and I'll be moving to Louisville. I'll go to the University of Louisville starting this fall. Yeah, I had a very memorable experience at my high school graduation this past week.
Yeah. So before we jump into that, can you tell us, how do you identify?
Right. So I don't really, I'm not a big label person in general, because I don't think that it's something that's inherent to my identity. So I usually just identify as like gay or queer as an umbrella term. In terms of gender, I usually just say gender nonconforming.
Okay.
Again, not a huge label person.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear that. Okay. So with that being said, do you want to share with us like what your experience was this past week and tell us some more about that?
Right. So the whole situation that had happened at my high school graduation, it's a Catholic school, so then everything is overseen by the diocese, in this case, the Diocese of Covington, and they had the last say on the matter. I was valedictorian, and at each graduation ceremony, the valedictorian gets to give a graduation speech. But I, just by existing, have kind of been unintentionally threatening to the diocese. I think that me being a gender nonconforming individual, not even necessarily the fact that I'm gay in the first place, but maybe because, even if I were gay, but if I had been like a little masculine, fitting their traditional ideal mold of what a boy is to them, that probably wouldn't have caused any controversy in relation to that. So then the day of graduation, roughly 10 hours before the ceremony, that was when, both my family and the family of the student council president, we got calls from my principal, who was the messenger for the diocese, and he went ahead and said that our speeches were turned in too late, according to the diocese, they requested randomly, supposedly, that they get to verify the speeches and ensure that they're appropriate for the setting. And then they ruled both of our speeches out. Mine was too angry and confrontational and personal, political. So then they said that we weren't allowed to give the speeches and that, there was no remedy because it was too late.
So,
wow.
The first thing that comes to my mind is, first of all, do you feel that they were too angry or political, or?
No.
Okay.
not at all. That was why we were kind of confused initially as well, because, I can understand that there are political elements to the speech, but it wasn't political in the sense where it was advocating for one side of the spectrum or the other. It was very encouraging of people to utilize their voices and to fight for social reform, whatever reform that may be. But I mentioned aspects of the speech that would appeal to a variety of audiences. At our Kentucky Capitol building, there's a statue of Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy. He has a memorial there just because he was born in Kentucky, even though Kentucky was never a state in the Confederacy. So, I talked about how my school had drafted a mock bill to relocate that memorial, you know, to preserve Kentucky history as well. But then on the other side of the coin, I talked about how many students went on the March for Life to advocate for the pro-life movement, which regardless of whether or not I agree with that, you know, I wanted to talk about experiences that people in my grade had had, you know, on both ends, just to show that everybody's capable.
And what... So then, I mean, I hear all that. What was your student council president's speech that also was then flagged? Was this just like a guilty by association type thing, or was there actually something, you know, that they were grabbing on there too?
You know, I think that I don't have any definitive proof of this, which is why I'm hesitant to say, you know, this is what happened.
Sure.
But obviously, me being the unintentionally controversial character that I am, had they only barred me from speaking, then that would have, you know, been a lawsuit on their end.
Okay.
They did say that hers was too personal as well. But, you know, that was kind of a faux justification for them blocking her. You know, so many of the speeches in the past had been much further personal than ours had been. So the way that I see it, it's likely that they went ahead and barred both of us from speaking so that they could just squander the whole issue and then it couldn't be a discrimination thing.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, not that it makes sense, their reasoning, but what you're explaining makes sense.
Yeah.
Why, yeah, you know, we're going to take one down. We'll have to do both to avoid a further problem. Whew. I mean.
How do you feel?
I was outraged to begin with, but I wasn't, I guess, lack of a better term, you know, distraught or sad. I was just trying to kind of reason through it, find an alternative, and then figure out what the next course of action would be. Obviously, at this point, the only thing I feel is tired.
Yeah.
Because there have been so many people reaching out, and I love hearing the support from so many people, and I try to respond to every single person, but, you know, it gets overwhelming.
Of course.
But I'm very grateful to have been able to utilize this platform, you know, and keep growing and then reaching out to more people. You know, it's a very gratifying experience as well.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It seems like you're definitely finding the beauty from it.
Right. I'm definitely trying.
Yeah.
You know.
How has this like affected things moving forward for you? I mean, aside from the frustration and obviously, you know, towards the whole situation, is there anything that's like following you now? Like, do you have any repercussions that you have to be concerned with, or?
Not really.
Okay.
You know, I think that the primary thing is just there are a lot of people online, you know, because I'm not heterosexual, because I'm not, you know, a very binary type person in terms of gender. You know, there are a lot of people who are kind of leaving nasty comments about that. But I don't think that there are any large scale repercussions.
Okay.
You know, I know that the student council president in my school, she and her family were kind of fearful of going to the media because they didn't want it to affect her scholarship or anything.
Yeah.
But there's been nothing that has affected me to that degree.
Good.
Granted, I'm going to a public university, but.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, well, I mean, the hate is just, I'm sure, like, not fun to deal with, of course, but mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why people, like, why are people not reaching out and saying how, like, brave you are? Why are people choosing to, like, comment and say, I mean, I'm sure there are people saying that, but, you know, the people that are posting a hate, like, I wish they would just take a second to think about, wow, look at this person being so brave, standing up for what they believe in, instead of, like, oh, let me further tear them down, or try to tear them down.
Yeah.
That being said, did you face challenges like that at your high school when you were still, you know, the 4 years you were in high school, or is this kind of the first big thing that you've had to deal with?
You know, it's never blown up to this degree, obviously. But there have been minimal power struggles here and there. And I still think that that stems back to the diocese wanting to have the school be, you know, as ideal as it can be in their eyes,
mm-hmm.
Regardless of whether or not the diocese was the one who was perpetuating everything that happened. You know, I still think that it was the school acting in relation to the diocese.
Mm.
So there were little issues, like my sophomore year, I got in trouble for wearing makeup to school or for wearing bobby pins in my hair. You know, boys aren't allowed to grow their hair past shoulder length or the collar. you know, boys aren't supposed to wear dress shoes or anything. More recently, we had like our senior photos at the school, and then all the boys were supposed to wear shirts and ties. You know, I didn't realize that that was such a strict dress code. So I kind of wore like a nice jumpsuit and a little wrap over it. And it was very professional. But then there was a whole fiasco with that. Additionally, this didn't happen to me directly, but I was there in the meeting when it did happen. There was a senior in my class who's a trans man as well, and he wore a bow tie for the senior photos, and he got in trouble with the administration because he was female in the system, and they wouldn't let him identify as the rest of the boys did.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I had similar. That is so sad. Yeah, I had similar things happen in high school too. Like I didn't go to a Catholic school. I went to a private school, but they had dress codes too, and they were very, very strict about it, and
right.
It was tough. So I can understand, you know, how difficult that can be. And I don't know about you, but I think that, well, I mean, I think that it's like, you know, clothing is part of our expression. So I think that it's very difficult to have that taken away, or to, you know, to have that shrine be taken away from you. Yeah.
Especially in a uniform system. Cause like I went to public school, so I had a lot of freedom,
right?
You know, expression how, but when you're only given the two options and you want to choose the other and they say no, I mean, there are no choices.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, first of all, did you ever like come out at school, or was it just more of a natural thing for you where you just, you know, dressed how you felt comfortable and expressed yourself in ways that felt comfortable for you, and people just kind of picked up on it? Or was there more to it?
Or
than
did
that?
You have that, like, the quote unquote, like, coming out
right
moment type of thing?
Yeah, but it wasn't in high school. You know, I started to discover who I was around seventh grade. And I was out to basically everybody in eighth grade. So going into high school, I already had an understanding of who I was. But I don't think I started, you know, more effectively expressing myself in terms of makeup, clothing, you know, my physical appearance until my sophomore year. And that was when the bulk of the issues and the tension with the administration had started to occur as well.
Okay. And then what kind of attention did you start seeing from them? Were you getting in trouble for things that weren't really happening, or like, what did they do?
So it started basically when I started wearing makeup. And I think that's what put me on the map for them. So I, you know, I wouldn't wear anything severe or anything. I would wear like a little bit of eyeshadow if it was a special occasion. I would wear, eyeliner or mascara or draw on eyebrows. And then I know that I started getting in trouble from the principal and the dean of discipline there. Although, you know, it was a bit of a power struggle as well, because there was nothing in the dress code about boys wearing makeup. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they still picked on it and picked it up and tried to critique it. You know, gradually I started wearing makeup less to school, not because I was trying to conform to their standards, but because the workload got harder and, you know, who was I trying to impress? So it naturally just started to fade away. But then a lot of issues started picking up my senior year again as well. And then, you know, it eventually just came to a head and then popped at the graduation ceremony. Mm.
Did you have any, like support from teachers or peers or?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I feel like only a handful of the administration had really had issues. I'm very close with a lot of the faculty, actually. I still talk to them even though I've graduated. And they've always been extremely supportive. You know, even when I was a little sophomore and I would wear makeup, they were the first ones who would be by my side, and they try to, you know, fight the system with me. So they have been extremely... Yeah, I really appreciate them. And, you know, that's why it stinks that a lot of people are misconstruing the message as well, with what had happened at the graduation ceremony, because people are, you know, sending a lot of hate. They're in support of me, but they're holding every individual at the school accountable as well. Uh-huh. So then, you know, people who even helped me write my speech directly, they're receiving hate. So then that's definitely... It doesn't feel great.
Of course. I think, unfortunately, that's like the nature of the game. You know, so they want, let's find who we can blame, and nobody's going to go after the diocese above them. You know, it's easier to hate on the teachers or whatever. Ugh, that's so heartbreaking.
Or just lump them all together.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Even the cafeteria ladies had received hate.
Oh my God. So sad.
Oh,
I know.
That's so great though to hear that you have so much support from other, like from staff members too, because mm-hmm. I know that cannot always be easy for staff to stand up and say, you know, especially at a Catholic school or is that right? Okay.
Catholic.
So at a Catholic school, you know, that can't be easy to stand up and say, like, I don't agree with the people above me, you know, this is my right. job, but I don't agree with this. That takes bravery too to do that. So it's good that you had such a supportive, you know, system there. And did you notice them treating the trans man the same way over the years, or was this more? I don't know if you guys, if you and this other person were, you know, in same class or anything. So I'm not sure if that's a question right. that you're able to answer, but I'm just curious if this was like an overall, like, you know, like if he fit into a more binary gender of being just a trans man and not mm-hmm. non-conforming as you're saying you are, I'm wondering right. if they, you know, if they still targeted him as well.
You know, I think that they would have. When he first transferred in, he came my sophomore year. And back then, he had identified as female and gone by his birth name. So at that point, you know, everybody was introduced to him as that first name, that first identity. He started to transition and then be more comfortable with that our junior year. And then, you know, a lot of the students, you know, refer to him by his real name now, Hayden. And then a lot of the faculty have as well and picked it up. But again, because he transferred in, you know, as female in the system, that's what the faculty and the staff had been going by. And the administration had kind of clung to that regardless of whether or not he wanted it changed. So, you know, they weren't... Apparently, they said that they weren't intentionally trying to be disrespectful, but they said that because he was female in the system, that they had to go by that. You know, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if they were capable of changing it.
Sure.
But at this point, obviously, it's yeah. there's not left. He's graduated.
Right, right. So after they had taken away your, you know, your right to do this speech and everything, how did you go about handling that? I did see something in the article that I read about you. I think correct me if I'm wrong. I think your father found a megaphone mm-hmm. and then allowed you took that upon yourself to give your speech. Can you share more about how that went?
Right. Yeah. So, both my family and the student council president's family, Catherine, we had gone ahead and met outside after, we had meetings with the principal and then some of the administration. And, you know, they told us both the same thing. You know, we were barred from speaking, nothing to do, blah, 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 no remedy. So then we were just kind of spitballing ideas. You know, both of our families can be characterized as being firecrackers. you know, we weren't going to go down without opposition.
Sure.
So we were just kind of trying to come up with ideas, some way to remedy the situation. You know, my mom had proposed printing out our speeches and handing them out at the ceremony. Then my sister was like, wait, that's a waste of paper, mm-hmm. you know, save the planet. So,
that's awesome.
Right. So then we started speaking more, and eventually the idea of giving the speech after the ceremony had come up. And, you know, everyone was supportive of that. So, you know, initially we were just going to go out there and just scream after the ceremony and try to get everyone to listen. But my dad is part of a group for parents with LGBT children. And the leader of the group, he was, he's an attorney and he lives by the college that the graduation ceremony took place at. Okay. So he had caught wind of the whole thing and he messaged my dad and he was just like, hey, I have this megaphone. Do you want me to bring it? You can pick it up on your way there.
So great.
Right. So then he just kind of kept it in his car during the ceremony. And then afterward, I saw him. And he was just like, I'm going to go get the megaphone.
That is awesome.
Right.
I'm so moved by how, like, not only your school, but, like, this is, like, a really big community of supporters for you. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I'm not from Kentucky. I'm not from the Midwest. So I think that as somebody who grew up, you know, I grew up in New Jersey and now I live in California. So as somebody who grew up in a different state like that, it always fascinates me to hear these positive, supportive stories from places like Kentucky or whatever, where you usually don't hear supportive stories for LGBT people. So what is this how your community typically is? Is this like where you grew up? Are people more open-minded, or was this surprising for you to see so much support?
You know, I think part of it is the fact that because I've been so visibly myself for the past 4 years, that that's kind of aided people in their social progression. You know, I think part of it could also be the fact that I'm in the greater Cincinnati area. So that's generally a more liberal area as well. You know, it'd be different if I lived down in rural Kentucky, like Pikeville or something. But again, I think that it's just, I'd say the greatest thing, because going into high school, I wouldn't say people were as supportive as they are now. So I think that a big part of it is, you know, just the way that queer individuals in the community have impacted people. And, you know, especially myself, Catherine, and then a number of people in my class as well. We're all very vocal about our beliefs and pushing for social reform. So I think that that's kind of aided people in that regard as well.
That's great. Whatever works, you know?
Yeah. Right. Seems like the visibility helps, you know, the more, not so much in people's face, you know, that you are, the more comfortable they can get seeing us as regular people.
Right.
With normal lives.
And there are a lot of people who are supportive, you know, dispersed throughout the country as well. But it's just the fact that the people who harbor these super traditional and conservative ideals, a lot of times they're the ones who are in power. So then they're representative of everything, which isn't always the case.
Right. And sometimes they just have to be the ones that deliver the bad messages, not that they necessarily, you know, agree with it. I don't know. I obviously don't know anything about your principal, but I do wonder if, you know, they had to just listen to what was being told versus what they felt was right or any of that. So would you say that if you were talking about your overall high school experience, would you say it was a positive one or?
Yeah, I'd say that it was generally rather positive. You know, there were the little power struggles here and there, but I was able to kind of build that support system from the ground up and impact a lot of people as well. And because of that, you know, I think that even just in the past 4 years that the high school as an institution and a lot of the faculty have grown leaps and bounds socially, whether or not that was my class's doing or whether or not it was just, you know, natural adaptation to, a community of students who are a lot more apt and willing to express themselves thoroughly. I don't know what particularly pushed them there. But, you know, I'm very grateful for it because they were very supportive and continued to grow exponentially.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the willingness to learn or, you know, or at least be supportive was somewhat there.
Right.
Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, I think that being progressive in general can be characterized by that willingness to grow and learn and be receptive to ideas. Not to say that everybody who practices Catholicism is going to harbor that ideal or align themselves with that. But there were a number that did. And I think that that is one of the primary reasons why we got to this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah. You know, all parties have to be willing to meet somewhere. You know, we have to come from places of understanding that this is probably the first time anyone's been exposed to someone,
right,
you know, like us. You know, it's a learning process for everyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think
go ahead.
I think that a lot of people as well, wherever they come from, regardless of whether or not their ideals align with ours, I think that it's still coming from a place of them trying to make a difference and advocate for something that they feel is best for all of humanity, you know, unless they're like a neo-Nazi or something. I think that they would still be doing something, regardless of whether or not we agree that it would be beneficial for the greater good. You know, I think that it's something that they're doing to try and help people as well. Like the pro-life movement, for instance, you know, they're not intentionally trying to hurt people who are seeking abortions by not giving them that option. And, you know, in their minds that they're still advocating for life, which is something that they want to protect fully. You know, I'm personally pro-choice because I don't have a uterus. I don't want to dictate what a person with a uterus does with it. But, you know, inherently, regardless of whether or not I agree with the sentiment, they're doing something that they feel would be beneficial for everybody. And I can find respect in that.
I think that's a really like good way of looking at things, because we're not always going to agree with what somebody does. But I think if we're able to see the intention maybe behind it, like what you're saying, that right. does make it a little easier to wrap our heads around it and not think like these people are just all assholes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they're just not all insensitive. So now you just had this experience that was, you know, it's blowing up. Everyone's kind of hearing about it. What place does that put you in moving forward? You know, you said you're going to college. Does this in any way influence any future plans that you have? What are you planning on studying in college, if you don't mind sharing?
Absolutely. I'm planning on studying biology.
Okay.
I'm in a program with an ecology track as well currently, because I think that conservation and environmental science would be something that, you know, it's something that I've been drawn to for a very long time. I think that it would be a very gratifying career choice. I don't think that it really affects my plans moving forward, because, you know, advocacy and activism have been inherent to my identity for a long time. This is just the first time that it's blown up to this scale. So I think that I'm going to continue with the same track that I've set for myself. You know, I'm still going to be receptive in case plans change, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously nothing's concrete, set in stone, but you know, I'm just going to keep advocating for what I feel passionately and adamantly about, and I'm going to be able to do that while I'm still studying and kind of balancing the two. You know, I don't have to devote every ounce of my being to biology and ecology. You know, I can still feel passionately about those things and fight for them without having to make my entire career path that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
I love your attitude. Like, it's so, you have such a good attitude. Like, you just seem like, you seem very mature for just graduating. Like, I wish that I was on your level when I graduated high school.
Thank you. It's definitely
really nice to see.
Yeah. Giving me a lot of hope for the future.
No, but you definitely have a good head on your shoulders. Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask family reaction, but he already covered that with your dad getting you a megaphone. I just think that's awesome.
Yeah. Like, I mean, support. Your family sounds very supportive for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, for them as well, they're human. You know, everybody learns and grows simultaneously. And I think that my upbringing as well has definitely aided them. You know, when I first started wearing makeup, they were really confused. When I first got my septum ring, my dad was really disgusted.
I think all parents are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Ew, jewelry.
Yeah.
But, you know, the further we go, they're progressing day by day. And I'm very appreciative of that and the fact that they're remaining receptive and still growing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any messages that you would want to give to like other young kids, you know, your age that are going through this or a tough time with their gender identity or expression or anything?
Right. So I would just say that, you know, I touched on this in my speech, and this is kind of the foundation, but, you know, that everybody has that voice. You know, it kind of sounds cheesy and cliche talking about it, but
no.
I think that, you know, we're all capable of making that same impact. Like, a lot of people have reached out to me and said, oh, you know, you're so inspirational and blah, 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 you're doing such great things. And, you know, these are things that are inherent to my identity and things mm-hmm. that I want to advocate for. You know, just the fact that it blew up to this scale, that was just a coincidence. You know, I'm not really different than anybody else my age in yeah. that sense. You know, we're all capable of using our voices to advocate for those things. And that doesn't have to be our entire identity either. You know, you can still care about issues as passionately as you want, like gun reform, you know, LGBT rights. But that doesn't have to be every ounce of your being either. You're allowed to balance the things. For me, it's always been easy because I've been able to focus on things like my studies, but I've also been able to, you know, push for social reform in that sense. You know, I found like a happy medium between the two. And I think that that's something that everybody should do as well. You know, I think that I'm adapting and, you know, I'm getting ready to make that leap into the quote unquote real world, the mm-hmm. adult world. I know that a lot of people kind of abandon those ideals when they grow up because they're focused on getting a stable job, making money, starting a family, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that you can definitely balance the two and you can continue to advocate as you get older.
Absolutely.
So we talked a lot about this one experience. Is there other stuff about you that you want to share? Is there anything that means something to you?
I can. I mean, for the past 4 years, I don't know, talking about myself, it's like really weird because I never do it.
I hear that.
For the past 4 years, I've been so committed to academics that I haven't really had much time to pick up on a lot of external hobbies. You know, I did theater for the past 4 years as well. I was on my school's academic team. I tried to start a recycling club. That didn't really go anywhere. People didn't want to help out. So that was just sad. Right. Well, you know, public university now, hopefully there will be recycling receptacles everywhere.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Gosh, what else is there?
What were you doing in the summer?
Well, I was going to, my sister just moved into a new house from her apartment with her boyfriend. She's starting grad school at the University of Cincinnati. I'm in a program at Children's Hospital. So I just helped her move in. You know, I didn't expect the summer to have such a dynamic start, but
yeah, right away.
Right. So, you know, other than like a family vacation, orientation for Louisville, I initially planned on just kind of taking it easy and kind of easing my way into that. You know, I'll probably have a few more things to do now. I might be doing an internship at Cincinnati's city council.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Cool.
You know, they reached out to me through this whole experience as well. So I want to definitely network and utilize that to the best of my ability.
Absolutely. Like C said earlier, you're turning this into a positive experience. And I think that's exactly what, you know, the best thing that one can do in these situations is try to do the best you can and make it a better situation for yourself. So it's really cool that you're, you know, you have a potential internship and stuff because of this. That's so great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Capitalize on any like potential door openings.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've been very overwhelmed by the whole experience, but I've been trying to utilize it and, you know, talk to as many people as I can, because obviously it's not going to last forever.
Right.
So, you know, I have this very small window and I want to make the most of it while it's still open.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I can say this, I think you're doing everything right. I think you're doing really great things with this.
Yes.
Thank you.
I agree.
And what I like when I reached out to you, what I absolutely loved was that like I knew you just graduated high school. Like I know that you're, you know, not that you're young, but you just graduated. You're moving on to this new big period of your life, and you still want it, like what you just said, you're still utilizing this time that you have to try to get your voice out there and make as much of a difference as you can. And I think that's so beautiful because not all of us have that opportunity. And when we do, sometimes it can be really hard to, you know, actually do that, but you're really taking it and doing as much as you can. I think that's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. definitely. Yeah. So I don't have any other questions unless there's anything that you wanted to share or see. I don't know if you, anything else was coming up for you.
I want to say congratulations on valedictorian like that.
Yeah.
First of all.
Yeah.
That is a hell of an accomplishment. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Seems like you worked hard for it though. Like if the way you're describing your last 4 years.
It was a struggle.
I bet. Yeah. I want to give you time to, you know, share if anything, if there's anything you wanted to share, but I also don't want to put you on the spot. So if, you know, if there's nothing else you have, let me know.
Yeah. So something that I've been trying to make the clarification about recently as well is that, which I think that I've done because, you know, a lot of people, interviewers, they don't really give me much time to speak and articulate myself. So sometimes the message can get lost in that, you know, very small window of time. But this was all the diocese is doing as well. And, you know, they forcibly made the school their messenger. So, you know, as I said, a lot of people are sending hate to the school. You know, I just want to, you know, ward people from doing that as well, because I do have a very strong support system there, you know, even the cafeteria ladies. And I want to go ahead and stress that it was, you know, the diocese and their council, their committee, their representatives, and then the bishop himself. And then the bishop didn't even come to the graduation ceremony either, side note, which he always does.
Oh, wow.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
Yeah. But yeah, again, the diocese, you know, I don't wish any ill will toward either as well. I just hope that they can kind of utilize this as a learning experience and, you know, again, making as large as this has become, finding good in it and kind of using that to aid in their progression. Whether or not they'll end up doing that, I have no idea. The Diocese of Covington is a very archaic institution. So if they don't, it wouldn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't want this to be all for naught. I know I'm not making it all for naught for myself. Mm-hmm. And they're capable of, you know, utilizing it to their advantage as well, as long as they're open to.
I think whether they do that or not, you know, hopefully they do, like you said. But ultimately, I think that you're making a huge difference to a lot of people.
Definitely.
Probably specifically to people your age, too. You know, to be so open and to be so comfortable and to be, you know, out there visible is huge. Mm-hmm. And as C and I have talked about before, there's not a lot of people that fall into the more non-binary or non-conforming categories that are putting themselves out there and are sharing their stories or struggles or whatever, which is, right. I think something, C, if I can say, I think something that C really tries to do also. So mm-hmm. I think that no matter what, you're going to make a difference for a lot of people. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm trying my hardest as well. You know, as people are becoming more receptive and more open, especially to like queer issues, you know, we have to keep pushing the boundaries because, you know, they might be accepting of trans people on paper, but they're only accepting of people who are passing.
Yep.
Or they might be accepting of, you know, gay people or lesbians, but gay people have to be masculine and straight passing, and same with lesbians in a feminine sense.
Right.
So, you know, there are people like us who exist, and we just have to keep pushing it and being visible.
Absolutely.
Totally. Yep. There's nothing wrong with that. And people, it's about time people start picking up on that. There's nothing wrong with not fitting into a category that they've created for other people. You can create that category for yourself and hold yourself to those standards, but, you know, no reason to impose that on other people who are not going to agree with that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I want to make, like I said, I want to make sure you have the time to speak your mind. So do you want to share anything else?
No, I don't think so. I think I've gotten the bulk of my message across.
Cool.
You know, you guys have been very, you know, kind and receptive, and I appreciate that. And
thank you.
You know, given me the time to articulate myself as well.
Absolutely. Well, like you said, I think it's all too frequent that the media and stuff just tries to get whatever little tidbits they want from a person, and then they don't care about the rest. And so when I read your BuzzFeed article and then C and I were discussing, I was like, I want to hear more, because there is more than just what happened that day. And this is like how you said, this is how we make changes, by talking about these things and being visible with what happened, and being, you know, being upfront and sharing. So yeah, thank you. I'm really glad that we were able to find time to do this. And I'm grateful for your time, you know, that you offered to us.
Yeah, seriously. And so last minute, and I know you have a lot of stuff going on, obviously.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate it a ton. You know, this has been like, what, 40-ish minutes, but that's plenty of time for me to be able to get my message across to you guys.
And,
you know, your questions helped in that. You know, yesterday I went to an interview, and it was through CNN, but it was televised, so it was probably no more than 3 or 4 minutes. And then the second that, you know, I was critical of the diocese, and then I didn't get to, like, put out that disclaimer that I don't wish them any ill will, they were just like, well, that's a good note to end on. Okay, bye. So then...
Yeah.
And all that got missed.
The half-truths.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I do appreciate that thoroughly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's something that's really important. Like C and I talk about all the time. It's very important to us why we're doing these episodes like this, because people need the space and a platform to share their own story in their words and not under a time frame or under some sort of other alternate, like, what's the word I'm looking for? reasoning. That's not the word, but, you know, whatever their reasoning is, their agenda. Another alternate agenda. Like, our agenda here is to have an honest space for people to share honestly. So I'm really glad we were able to do that with you. Thank you.
And I commend you guys for that as well, because I think that there are so few spaces where there is an agenda like that, where people are able to articulate themselves honestly and candidly. So I think that you guys are definitely making change with that. And I
thank
really
you.
Commend you guys for that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for saying that. It really means a lot. It's been a fun process, so we're excited too, but thank you.
No, thank
Have
you
a good
guys.
Day.
Thank you for reaching out.
Yeah, try to you take too. Some time for yourself too.
Yeah, I'll try my hardest.
Yeah, enjoy the summer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christian.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of the Transitional Wisdom Podcast. If you feel you would like to share your story, or if there's a topic you would like us to discuss, please email us at nash@transitionalwisdom.org or visit our website at transitionalwisdom.org. Make sure to subscribe and throw us a few stars if you feel like it. And hey, thank you.
Who knew this would happen? A magic potion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worthy of change, same as you are.